Welcome to Stats Book Talk. Here are all three of our podcasts for your listening enjoyment. Welcome to Stats Book Talk, where we describe our thoughts on how to lie with statistics by Daryl Huff. My name is Maggie Hohenstein, and the other voice you'll hear is Lisa Kang. We are current statistics students reading this book for the first time and sharing our experiences with you. The first thing we discussed was our thoughts on the title.
I wonder how often it's that people are lying with statistics and how often it's just that the people hearing them are misinterpreting them or misunderstanding them. Because, like, in this situation, it's definitely that he's just misinterpreting what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not sure how much I agree with the title of the book. I don't know what I would change it to. But I feel like it's not, because it's not like these people are lying.
Right, they're using
statistics correctly. Everything that they're saying is true and honest,
mm-hmm.
in a sense. It's just that it's really easy for other people to misinterpret.
Right. Because there are multiple ways you can use statistics, so. Yeah, it's not lying.
No. Although I guess it might in some ways be the, like, lying by omission. Because they're not being clear, like, oh, yeah, this is the average, but what kind of average? Like, that's not included.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really depends on your definition of what a lie is, I guess.
We gradually moved into what we thought of the book in general.
That's my issue with this book, is that it's not particularly clear. Like, it's talking about how to lie using statistics, but in some way I feel like it's lying to me. Because
okay.
It's just kind of, everything it says is kind of vague.
Although we thought some things were vague, others were easily understood.
It makes sense that, you know, the mean, median, and mode are the same, or pretty much the same for human characteristics, because, I mean, there are small, like, differences, but, like, not a lot. We're pretty much normal.
And the people who are at the there are people at both ends of the extremes.
Right.
So there
really
are people who are really
short.
Small, and there are people who are really big, and so it doesn't skew in one direction.
Right.
Or the
there
other.
Are lots of people in the, like, same middle cluster.
Yeah. The, like, average.
Real average. All of them. All of the
average. All three averages.
Not just human characteristics. Other stuff made sense, too.
I thought it definitely made sense that people would report themselves having a higher income than they actually did. Because people want to think of themselves as better, and they want people to remember them as better.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the same idea that, like, some people wouldn't report what
right.
their income was because they didn't want people to know because it was too low.
We got frustrated as we continued to read about the poll conducted with Black Americans in the South. The results varied greatly when the interviewer switched from Black to white. We talked about what that means.
She's kind of saying that all poll-based conclusions are biased and worthless.
Because
nice
they are.
Yep.
Because they are.
So the fact that we think that's crazy might mean something, because it might be.
It might be ridiculous and completely biased. Like, we have no idea what that actually means, because it doesn't mean anything.
Yep.
That's really frustrating, because I feel like we're in the process of learning statistics, and now I'm learning, like, but you know, most of the time doesn't actually mean anything.
Yeah.
You you don't actually know what's happening based on the statistics that you're given. That's really frustrating. Because it's kind of like, okay, well, now I feel like I should understand what these statistics that are being thrown at me mean, but I don't. Because unless they're super clear and they state every, like, where all of these numbers are coming from.
That's like, there are lots of everything, like confidence intervals for this and this and this. Like, there are lots of those.
There's so many, and they all mean, like, slightly different things. And so the number could change just
like,
enough to, like, throw everything off.
Mu and X bar and, like...
Mu and X bar, S and...
Sigma.
A
lot.
Yeah.
Why do that?
I don't know. It doesn't make sense. It's frustrating.
It's real confusing.
It was frustrating, but logical.
It also, like, made a lot of sense that, like, not all of these reports are accurate because you can't get everyone. Like, there's no way. They talked about that a lot.
Yeah, there's no way to get everyone, and there's no way to make sure that you're getting a good variety of people. Because it's likely that you'll be getting, like, this smaller group within the big group. Like, now that I, like, have read some of these things, though, I feel like I'm going to be looking at, like, different advertisements or things and wondering, like, okay, so what kind of average did you use there? Like, how did that number come to be? Is that the actual average? Is it the median? What are you using? Why are you using it?
Yeah, that's what came to my mind when I was thinking about, like, which kind of average they use was College Dep. When I looked up average College Dep, and they had, like, 26,000, I was like, so now which average is that? Because I'm going to be in a lot more depth than that, like.
That's true. And is that, like, because that's, if that's the arithmetical average, that's very different than it being the median, because it might be, it could be a lot lower, because there could be a lot of people who don't have debt, who are then skewing it lower. And then if it's the median, you know that you're, like, slightly above halfway.
Yeah.
Which isn't as bad. I don't know. I think that it should be required for people who are saying, like, this is the average, to say what kind of average.
Yeah.
I think that that's important for everyone to know.
They're not going to do that because then the numbers are going to be crazy and they're going to be like, look. Like, with the bosses and how they're like, this is a profit that we make, when actually they split it between three people and then use their mean, and I was like, what? You can't do that.
That was crazy.
Yeah, it was 26,000, and then they're like, nope, it's only 5,000.
I would be so mad if I, like, found that out, if I was one of the other workers in the company, and I was like, oh, yeah, you guys get about, like, 5,000. That's not so bad.
Yeah, because I only make, like, half of that. That's cool.
That's fine, yeah. Like, I'm below you. That makes sense. Whatever. But actually, just kidding, you make, like, 10 times as much as I do. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can make them into whatever you want them to be.
Right.
That's something that the general population should know and doesn't. And I wonder what a strategy would be to, or what it would look like to make that happen.
Right. I feel like there isn't going to be much difference if people know, like, there's nothing they can do to stop that, like, I don't think the government or, like, anyone's going to stop it because, you know, these companies are going to make profits or whatever if they're, like, giving this information that makes them seem really cool and whatever. I don't think it's going to change anything if people know. I mean, maybe a little bit. Like, people will be more aware of, like, what they're buying or, like, that, but...
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a big difference.
No, I don't think so. I don't think, even if people were given the information, I don't know how many of them would actually care about it. They'd be like, oh, well, yep, oh, well, too bad.
No one's just going to go and research, which average did you use?
I just, I feel like that's...
But yeah, people should be aware.
It should be something that people are aware of. Even if they don't really care.
Just know it's happening.
They should be given the chance to care about it. Next time we're reading chapter 3, 4, and 5, right?
Right, and they're the little figures that are not there. Much auto with practically nothing. The cheese whiz wrath. Like, I have no idea what those means.
Yeah, me neither. I wonder what the graph one is about. Because looking at it, it looks like normal mathematical graphs.
Right. But then there are a whole bunch of different types of graphs. And, like, you can graph the mean, or you can graph, like, the real. I don't know. There are lots of things. You can ride with graphs, too.
Yeah. I'm curious to look at that one. I think that one will be interesting.
Yeah.
This podcast is supported by SLA and B-Band Statistics. Hear you next week.
Hi, and welcome to Stats Book Talk, where we discuss How to Lie with Statistics, a book by Daryl Huff. I'm Lisa Kang, and I'm here with Maggie Hohenstein. Today we will be discussing chapters 3, 4, and 5 of the book. But first, we want to talk about some of the things that we missed in the first few chapters. Okay, so in the very beginning of the book, there was a page with a list of quotes, and we wanted to talk about how one of them relates to the introduction. In the introduction, it talks about this guy's father who read in a newspaper that there were so many crimes, which is true. There are lots of crimes, but in the sense for the statistics that he was reading was false. The stats from the article was biased, so there's really no telling how true or like how much of that you can believe. So I guess what the quote is kind of saying is that with statistics, you have to be careful because a lot of people believe that, you know, it's completely true and it's not fake or not true. It's just that they're leaving a lot of things out. Okay, so there's a part in chapter 1 that we would like to share.
On page 18, there's a paragraph that starts, "A river cannot." In my words, it sounds like this. The results of a sampling study can create the same type of illusion as a river moving about its source. Unless aided by other things, a river will always be subject to gravity and move downwards. Statistics is similar because you have to look closely to make sure there are no hidden ideas, such as a bad sample, that will move the results in the desired direction.
To go along with that paragraph, Chapter 1 also talks a lot about sample biases and how there will almost always be one. An example of this could be seen in the toothpaste study.
You're like, oh wow, this really helps. This toothpaste is great. It's wonderful.
Yeah, look at that. Everybody gets fewer cavities. I don't know, for me, I feel like, why can people do that? I know that, like, I feel like it's a silly thing to, like, have laws against. But at the same time, it's kind of like, but so there's just all this false information.
Right, and there's real math to, like, back it up. Right, but they need to, like, have big numbers to show consumers so that they can get more people to buy their products, saying, like, a 23% increase looks a lot better than a 2% increase.
Well, because it does.
Yeah.
Why don't we just find other ways to advertise, though? Why don't we find ways that are actually true?
When it comes to studies, the only way that you can come up with pretty accurate data is to have a stratified random sample which takes into account the different categories that can fit into a sample. But there are lots of difficulties with that because it's really impossible to get all the categories. You're always going to miss someone.
And we know companies aren't going to go and test things, a lot of things, or a lot of people, or whatever.
It also costs money for them to do that.
Yeah. They don't want that. They want to make money.
Yeah.
So what exactly are these statistics that we're reading?
Well, I don't know. What do you call them? They're not fake, but they're not exactly true.
They're not true. I mean, I guess you would just call them real. But even that is kind of a stretch because it's not legitimate.
So since you can't believe all of these statistics, what can you do? Well, there are things that you can look at, and we're going to be talking about averages in specific.
As well as asking what kind of average is being used, we should ask about the data. How the data was collected could change the bias and therefore affect the average. The number of data points collected could change the representation that the average has, because small samples are less accurate than large samples. If you're trying to compare the performance of two math classes, the best average to use would be median. Median would likely give you the most information in the scenario. It would allow you to examine where the central point of both of your classes are. Since the mean is not resistant to outliers, it would change if one student was doing much better or worse than the others. Mode would only give you information about how most people are doing, but you don't know what percentage of people are scoring higher or lower than that score. Therefore, median will give you the most information.
A lot of times people will get the mean number, but they don't worry about what that means because they don't know anything about, like, what the range is. Because if it has a really small range, most things are close to the mean. If it has a really big range, almost nothing is close to the mean.
Yeah, I thought it was really weird when they're explaining the, like, probable error. And they're like, plus or minus 3 to both of them. And then they were saying that Peter was actually superior instead of inferior.
My issue with that was that, like, he could be.
Yeah.
But he's not.
Also, it's more likely that she's, like, superior.
Yeah, she still has, like, her little section of numbers is still higher than his is. I mean, they overlap. And it's a possibility, but it's also a possibility that they're the same, and it's also a possibility that she's a higher IQ test.
Next, we began talking about how graphs also tend to lie to us.
So this made a lot of sense to me because we do this kind of thing in, like, algebra math when you want a better look at what the graph looks like. Mm-hmm. So you'll make your y-axis have smaller intervals if you want to focus on that change.
To continue talking about graphs, Maggie and I have both chosen our own examples of misleading graphs, and we'll talk about them here.
I looked at a graph representing the Obamacare enrollment. The y-axis in this graph is not labeled. However, it is clear that it does not start at zero. We know this because the first bar represents 6 million people and is close to a third of the size of the bar that represents 7,066,000 people. This makes people believe that the goal has increased an insane amount when in reality the difference is not that extreme.
I looked at a graph from Fox News showing the unemployment rate under Obama from January of 2011 to November of 2011. It's a line graph, which means that it shows a trend over time. When taking a glance, you can see that the y-axis is very small and not as spread out. What really stands out here is that if you were to take a look at the number, 8.6% seems to be on the same level as 9%, but 8.8 and 8.9% are much lower. That makes no sense.
It's really annoying. They do whatever they can to make it look like they're doing amazing things. Everyone's just like, yeah, totally. Because I don't think about it when I see numbers. Like, when I'm reading statistics or articles, I don't think about the numbers that are there. I don't think about how accurate they are. I'm just like, okay, yeah, you say so.
The other issue with that, which isn't something that's really in the book, is we don't always know where the numbers are coming from when we hear about statistics. Like, a lot of times you'll read things in articles online, and you're like, oh, yeah, 85% of people do this thing, and you're like, wow, okay. But where did that number come from? Mm-hmm. Who came up with it? Who did the study? Even if it was this kind of not fake, not real study, who did it?
That's all we have on Stats Book Talk for now. Thanks for listening and join us next time. Welcome to Stats Book Talk 3 with Maggie Honstein and Lisa Kang, where we discuss the book How to Lie with Statistics by Daryl Huff.
So we're starting with Chapter 6, and we're discussing 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, the entire second half of the book.
Yes.
So Chapter 6 was about infographics.
Right. So like pictographs and pictocharts.
Mm-hmm. And it talked about the different ways that you can make them, and then how that changes what they mean and how people interpret them. I thought that made a lot of sense. Because, like, especially having a kind of mathy brain, looking at, so the example with the money bags, saying, like, someone earns twice as much, and you'd use two bags, or you could double the height of the bag, and like I said, having my mathy brain, doubling the height makes me feel like that's so much bigger, that's so much larger.
Yeah,
that's insane. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Although I know my instinct would definitely be to assume that that's like an insane amount more.
Right, and also doubling the height doubles the width, and so it gets a lot bigger. And if it was 3D, yeah. Like,
yeah, like, because they're drawn out, like, they would be three-dimensional. They have, like, shading and stuff, mm-hmm. and so you imagine them to have depth. You would imagine that that depth is bigger.
Right.
And even though that's not what they're saying, that's what they're implying.
Right.
I am curious about, because the width is increasing, so wouldn't the area increase by more than double?
Mm-hmm. And volume. Everything, honestly.
But even, like, so even just in this two-dimensional thing, they are lying. They're not just, it's not just saying, since they don't specify, oh yeah, it's the height.
Yeah.
They're, like, I would assume that it's the area of these two things, since it's two-dimensional. And that's not even double. That's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that.
So chapter 7.
Which talked about the idea that, like, sometimes if you are giving people information, it's not, you're leaving something out, like you're leaving out a cause or an explanation, like why the figures would be like this.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And this was the one with, like,
the highway accidents, where it's like there are more accidents at night than in the morning.
Right.
I believe.
Yeah, because...
And so it would make it seem like at night it's kind of more, I mean...
More dangerous.
Yeah, more dangerous to drive. But there are actually other factors.
Yeah, like, there could be a lot more... There are generally a lot more cars on the road at night than there are in the morning. And so that's why it's more likely that there'll be an accident. It's not that you're more likely to be in an accident because it's dangerous at 7 p.m. Like, that's not how it works. It also starts to talk about percentages.
Percentage and percentage points, and how they're both basically for the same data, you can show two different things. So, like, their example was having it be 3%, and then the next year having it 6%, and then you can say that increased by 3 percentage points, or you can say no, it increased by 100%, which is a lot more impressive. And so, if they're advertising or anything, they would clearly use that one.
Right.
And that's weird. It's like 100. You're gonna save 100% more, like, than last year. But like 100%. That's kind of like, so it's free, right?
Yeah.
But
that's what we talked about a lot. And I have always had an issue with that. And I've heard a lot of times like, oh, things are now 250% more than they used to be. And I'm like, wait, that doesn't make sense. How is it more than 100%? Like, how do you have more? Because that's how my brain works.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, hearing those numbers, I'm like.
Yeah, like, my limit is 100.
Right.
There is no 250%.
But logically, like, that can actually happen. It's just that is weird. Like, hearing those numbers is weird and makes me, I guess that kind of, in some ways, like, draws your attention, which is part of what they're trying to do. And saying, like, oh, you're going to save that much more.
But you're not.
And then you're like, I can save more than 100%? Like, what? That's even possible?
Right?
That doesn't make any sense.
So there's a section in here on page 82 where they talk about, like, how not all of it is trying to deceive us. So, like, in terms of medical things, there are going to be, like, more cases of certain diseases at certain times or, like, in certain groups.
Right. Because times... Like, it happens when they know what the disease is now and they know how to diagnose it. And so, yeah, all of a sudden there's going to be a lot more recorded cases of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that there are necessarily more cases.
Right.
It just means we know about them, which is actually a good thing.
Yeah. But then, like, also with, like, advancement of, like, technology and people understanding more, that even if they, like, experience a small symptom, they're going to, I have this disease.
WebMD, anybody?
Me, all the time.
yeah, so that's a pretty common thing. I think this is the part in the book where it starts to kind of be like, I'm like, yeah, everybody's lying, but that's okay. Don't freak out about it. Because we've been reading this book for so long, and I'm definitely now, but also probably at this point, I was already kind of like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
I get it. Their statistics are lies. All statistics are lies. It's stupid. It's dumb. Fine. And so it's kind of just, the book is kind of starting to calm that down and be like, shh, it's okay. Numbers can be real.
Yeah.
And even if they're not, it's not always on purpose.
Because up until now, it's just been a lot of repeating, but, like, with different kinds of statistics. So, like, graphs, averages, everything. And it's like, okay, good to know.
Yeah, and so now it starts a little bit here. It does a lot of that in Chapter 10, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. Chapter 8?
Chapter 8, yeah.
Oh, this is the one that talks about... So... If you are studying two things and, like, both of them are increasing, you assume that one is because of the other. But in reality, there are all of these other things happening that could be causing this to increase.
And then within that, like, how do you know it's not that other thing causing that one thing? Like,
right.
You don't know.
You don't know. Just because you know that both are increasing does not mean you know why.
Yeah, and there might not even be a relationship between the two. It just happens that they're both increasing.
Right. And people do that a lot. People make that assumption a lot.
Mm-hmm. And then their example was with the cigarettes, how if you smoke, then you have bad grades in college. Ah, chapter 9.
Oh, so statistic Galatian.
Okay, so this chapter was fairly long.
True.
And in the beginning, it talks about maps, so using maps to show income, national income. And so there are different ways where you can kind of... So these two graphs, they're saying the same thing, except one has more states shaded in because the income there, I guess, are lower.
The income per, like, land area,
mm-hmm.
because there are fewer people who live in these states, and so there's not as much income in.
And then it looks like half of the United States in that picture, and then if you were to use just, like, a few states on the East Coast, it's just, like, 5 states.
Mm-hmm.
And so, with that, people can just make it look really impressive. That's what I hate, like...
Right, because you're... What they're doing here is they're showing something with the incorrect unit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're showing income by area. And that doesn't make sense. Income isn't based on area. Income, like, you can't... An acre of land does not equal $50, like... Or however much. That's not how it works. You're using the wrong units.
That's like the example with the, like, distributing income amongst families. And then it's like dividing the total income by the number of people in your family. And so you have a 2-year-old baby that's making like $1,000. No!
I wish I was making $1,000 a year when I was 2.
Then we would pay for college, you know?
Yeah, then I would have money for college.
But that's not how it works.
No. If only the lies we did with statistics could actually, like, then create that world.
Mm-hmm. But then the thing is, even if they did, like, they did that and, like, nothing happened because they're like, oh, we didn't know. Like, we just...
Oops!
It's math! We did something.
We did some math! It was fine. It was okay.
The math is correct. It's just, you know, not...
It's just not... It's the language, honestly, most of the time. And the, like, trickery.
Statistics is so much deception.
Deceit. Okay, so chapter 10 is where it completely starts talking about, like, but it's okay. It's okay,
mm-hmm.
you guys. Statistics isn't this awful place where everything's a lie, because it tells you, like, how to find legitimate statistics. And for me, while I was reading this, the entire time I was thinking... But I'm not going to go through this whole process every time I see a number.
I'm not.
No, and especially in an advertisement, I'm not going to spend all that time trying to research and, like, Google it. I don't have the time for that.
I don't care that much.
No, and...
It's not going to change anything, honestly.
No.
And, yeah, I was just thinking no the whole time. Like, okay, so why don't we just focus on making... I don't know, just putting out advertisements that are real.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
you can do that by having legitimate numbers, or you can do that by not including numbers at all. Either one would be fine, but, like, let's not use all these numbers that are lying to people.
Mm-hmm. But not even lying, just...
Deceiving is the better word. I think there were 5 questions.
I think so,
that
too.
You asked. I wish what the book had said, though, was... would have been something along the lines of, like, so yeah, this happens a lot, and you should honestly probably just ignore numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you should just, the statistics in general, more often than not, don't mean something, and they don't mean what you think they do. And, because if you're ignoring a true number, you're just not accepting that extra piece of information. And that's okay. Like, maybe you don't need that information. You can find that something similar in a different source, in a different way. And I just think that would be better. Like,
no one's going to do this. No one's going to ask all five of these questions every time they see a number.
Yeah, but that's the thing, like, yeah, it would be better, but, like, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
No one would want to buy anything.
That's true.
It would just be chaos. People wouldn't trust anything. I mean, like, even
chaos.
You can't trust anything anyways, but, like, at least you have something that says, you know, it's somewhat good.
Yeah, I mean, there's just, I don't know. I feel like already in my life, I trust things that are more like, I don't trust advertisements in general. I buy things because people I know enjoy them or like them. I trust my gut.
Yep.
It's not the numbers. It shouldn't be the numbers. I don't have money for that.
No.
I'm 18 years old.
And so, like, I'll buy things that I need. And for me, it doesn't matter the brand or anything. I'm just gonna buy something that I need.
Yeah.
Forget about everything else.
Yeah. I feel like once I get older, it'll be good to have all this information, though, because I feel like this will come up more when I'm an adult.
I'm still not going to do anything about it, though.
I'm still not going to ask the questions, but I am going to be more cautious.
Because you see advertisements and numbers everywhere. You will not be able to search up every single thing you see. That's
no
not
time.
How that works.
No time.
Well, I'm glad I read the book.
I'm glad I read the book. I wish it hadn't been so repetitive. But I'm glad that I know this information. I'm glad that I can use this. Think about things more carefully.
Yeah. It was an okay book.
Yeah.